Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, we would be remiss, I think, if we were just to skip over this idea in the epistle that the Lord's house deserves, well, your gifts. Our Lord loves a cheerful giver. And it is good that as we are thankful for what we find here in this church and in all the things that we do, and especially as the word is preached and as the sacraments are administered, we respond to our Lord's love and compassion with our gifts, usually of, well, our treasure. But it could also be our time and our talent as people have that need. We would be remiss to skip over that, because indeed Paul is speaking very plainly here, that those who sow sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. He's using an agricultural metaphor, a farming story, if you will, to point out our giving. But he's not saying this, that if you give a whole lot to the church, you get a whole lot back, and if you only give a little, you only get a little. That would not be in line with what our Savior would have us know. Instead, what Paul is saying is that as thankful as we may be, thus we should give. It's true. If we do find value in what happens here in the church with word and sacrament, then indeed, we will give according to our ability, with a cheerful heart, with a thankful heart. And it is true that if we do not value what we have here, we will not give, neither being cheerful, neither being in any way whatsoever. For our hands and our wallets will be full of what we have, but not given at all to what our Lord is providing for you. It's true. It's hard. As pastors, we don't really like preaching this kind of stuff. We don't really like stewardship ideas. Not because they're not necessary. They are. They're, in fact, probably even more necessary today than any other day. And yet still, we get a little nervous talking about it. Well, the church only talks about money. I mean, how often do we hear that trope out there? And it's not true. We talk about it, really honestly, probably much less often than we should. But still, we don't like these verses. But here we find an idea for us from Paul. An idea of where our giving is located. And it is in thankfulness. If we are thankful, then we give. And if we're not, then we don't. I can tell you what I'm thankful for is that over the last 8 months of this pandemic, our individual giving has actually gone up in the church. We are still making, in essence, what we're bringing in our offering plates. We are bringing in what we normally brought in before the pandemic began. However, the sad part is that the attendance has gone down. And so it kind of balances out. We've got that same amount that's coming in, but less people being here. And that's okay. We understand it's a hard time to be in the church. People are scared and they have different needs and different health abilities. I get that. What I am thankful for is you. You who are faithful. You who have been responding to our Lord's love and compassion through Jesus Christ with your treasure. It's allowed us to continue on. It's true. We are actually not in a bad position as a church, at least not what other places are. We do have questions as to what's going to happen for us in the next year and how we are going to be able to stay open. But right now, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for what we have, and I'm thankful for each and every single one of you. I've been contemplating this idea of thankfulness, and I have come to the conclusion, at least I'm fairly certain I've come to the conclusion, that the Christian life should be one of thankfulness. There's a lot that, we put on the Christian. Things like praise and honor that we give to God. But I think if we're really looking at the scriptures, and if we're looking at the way that we should be addressing our God, it is through thankfulness. When I was younger, I was taught the acronym, ACTS, as a way to pray. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. It's really kind of interesting. I was taught that. So, you know, you may pray in this way. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you are greater than any other God. It is amazing that you have love and compassion towards me. Lord, I confess that I am indeed a sinner and I am in need of your forgiveness. I give thanks, O Lord, for all your mercy and for all the gifts you have given to us in this life. Lord, I need from you this day, A, B, C, D, whatever it might be. What's fascinating is when we prayed according to Acts, you can guess where we spent most of our time. It was in the supplication, asking God for things that we thought that we needed or knew that we needed. And in fact, if you were just to look at the acronym itself, you might think that Thanksgiving would only take a quarter of what it should be in prayer. But I think if we are to pray honestly and pray the way that God would have us pray, our entire lives in prayer should be one of thankfulness. You know, Paul elsewhere encourages us to pray without ceasing. Have you ever thought about that? How difficult that would be? How hard it would be to pray without ceasing? Could you have a conversation with anyone? Could you do anything? To pray without ceasing, at least as we normally would understand that, seems impossible. But I think if we are looking at what it is that Paul is actually saying, if we are thankful to God in all circumstances for all the gifts he has given to us, then it is truly a prayer. Try it. I tried it today. I've tried it in the past, but I was specifically thinking about doing this today in light of our sermon tonight, walking through my day being thankful. Waking up and thinking, Lord, they bugged the bejesus out of me, but I am thankful for my kids. They are slow to eat, but thank you, Lord, for giving me this time with them here around the breakfast table. Lord, I really wish you would make Ava stop screaming in the car, but I'm thankful that she has a voice, and I'm thankful that she loves her brother. Lord, I'm thankful for the school that we send them to, that they teach them about you. Lord, I'm thankful for the gift of this car, that it's able to get me where I need to go. Lord, I'm thankful for the propane that I'm putting in this tank so that I can fry my turkey tomorrow. Lord, I'm thankful for the turkey. Oh, Lord, I'm thankful for the time that you've given me to sit. Lord, I'm thankful for the gifts that you give me and work and technology and tobacco. Yes, I know. Maybe not everybody thanks God for that. I'm one who does. Lord, I'm thankful for my wife. Lord, I'm thankful for this church. Lord, I'm thankful that I have a call and that I'm able to serve you through it and serve your people because of it. Lord, I'm thankful for electricity, that we don't have to gather around candlelight. Lord, I'm thankful for all good things. It's amazing how as you go through your day, if you think about the idea of being thankful, the things that pop up in your heart, it shifts your focus away. I mean, yeah, my kids annoyed me like to no other extent this morning. Ava and Eli both were screaming at each other in the car. And then all of a sudden, Ava would start singing. And Eli would tell her to be quiet. And so I would say, Ava, it's your turn. And she would sing. And Eli, it's your turn. And he would sing. And he was making up words to some song. But you know what was really interesting is Ava, when she would start to sing, I must be doing something okay. She would start to sing, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. She didn't get the lyrics all quite right, but she knew that's where she wanted to be. And it's amazing because in that moment, as I'm thanking God for what he's able to do, even while I'm trying to get over my annoyance, I hear the words that God would have my little girl say. And it turns my heart towards him. Being thankful is a strange response to the things of this world. But it is where we are called to be. Now, I know it's so easy for us to be thankful for the things that are good, right? Think back. You're in 2019. Lord, I'm thankful that I can be together with my family this Thanksgiving Day. I'm thankful for all of the food that you have brought and put on my table. Lord, I'm thankful for the Black Friday shopping deals that you're about to provide for me and my family. Lord, I'm thankful for Christmas and the feeling that it brings to me. But this year has been a little different, hasn't it? We've been in pandemic mode for 8 months. I've gotten word today that Milwaukee is going to lock us down even further next week. It's going to be hard. It has been hard. And we sit here and we go, there really, in this way, is no thankfulness. Many of us have had to cancel our Thanksgiving plans. Many of us are probably pulling way back on the food. Many of us may be afraid to go out shopping on Black Friday, which I'm never a big fan of anyway, so that's not a big concern for me. But for some of you, it might be the case. I know it's hard to look at Christmas coming up this week, the Advent season, as our church is going to be decorated for that season. We're looking at this going, I've lost so much this year. Our Lord says that he is the author of good, and he is also the creator of calamity. That which may be evil for us is good in God's eyes, for it brings us closer to the day that Jesus is coming back. And it is a strange thing to think of, but the Christian response to this pandemic, to the loss that we experience, should still be thankfulness. Lord, I miss my family, but I am thankful that you've given me a church to which I belong. Lord, I miss my family today, but I'm thankful that you've given me this time to reflect on your gifts. Lord, I miss the shopping. But I'm thankful that you've given me the ability to have money to spend. Lord, I am going to miss all of the feelings of Christmas as I look at the beauty in this season coming up. But I'm thankful that you've given to me your Son, Jesus Christ, in the flesh to bear my sin and be my Savior. Our thankfulness, my friends, should permeate everything. Paul says he was able to be content in every situation, whether he was imprisoned or in chains, whether he was shipwrecked or bitten by snakes, whether he was persecuted, whether he was whipped, or whether things were going well, that he had food on his plate, that he was staying in the homes of people who loved him. He was able to thank God in all of these situations, for that truly is what being content is, to look at God and to say, thank you for this. Try it. Go about your day thanking God for all the things that you experience, good and evil. For our Lord is going to work all of these things for your benefit. It is true, my friends. When we come before God with a spirit of thankfulness, we are truly living out a life of prayer. And if that is the case, then we begin to see God working in every situation, and the giving that Paul encourages us to do here in our passage tonight becomes easy because we have a cheerful heart. Whether we are able to give a dollar and be cheerful over that, or $500 and be cheerful over that, it doesn't matter. What matters is we're coming before God in the right spirit, being cheerful, being thankful, looking at all that God has given to us in this place and in this life, and responding back to Him. This is not a pledge drive or anything like that tonight. I'm not asking you to increase your giving in any way. I'm asking you to thank God. To look at what he has done, beginning first with our Lord and Savior. He sent the gift of his Son into this world to take on flesh, to be just like you, to live perfectly in a way that you could never consider doing because of the fallen nature of humanity. In our sin, we are dark and we should be in despair. But then the light of Christ broke forth that Christmas night, and Jesus came into the world. And he lived for 3 decades, and he began to teach. And he gave to us all the wonderful words that we have as recounted in the Gospels. And he healed the sick, and he made the blind see. He even raised the dead. And then he died. Not because he lived to a ripe old age, but because the world looked at him and said, we must kill this man. We would think that all hope would be lost in that moment. But that truly was God's plan, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the Son of Mary, would be put to death, murdered for your sake. That in his death, he would give to you the righteousness that you so desire for yourselves, but you could not earn. And taking from you all of the sin that you have committed and all of the sin that is in your nature. And he has made you holy. And to rise from the dead to give to you then the promise of everlasting life. And to go rise up to ascend into heaven that he might reign there until he is to return and remake this earth into the way that he has intended from the beginning. For this we give God thanks. And of course, for our creation. Without, we would have no hope at all, for we would not exist. To give thanks to God for the food that's on our tables, the food that's in our pantry. To give thanks to God for the shelter that he provides for us. To give thanks to God for the family and friends that he puts around us. To give thanks to God for the church that he has placed us in. For all these things, we are to give God thanks. Try it. That is what I'm asking of you tonight. For indeed, our Lord would encourage you also in this way, that God would be able to make grace abound in you through your work. Your work is not saving. Your work does not bring you closer to God. God has already come close to you in Jesus Christ. But your work draws you closer to one another. And in your lives of thankfulness, people will only be inspired by what they see in you. And as you are thankful, you begin to see the grace of God grow in you. Not because, again, he's closer to you, but because you begin to look more and more like he intended in the first place. You begin to look more and more like Jesus Christ. God is able to do this. For if we have a thankful heart, we will find that we have sufficiency in all things. When we have a thankful heart, there is nothing more that we need, for we recognize that God has given to us exactly what he would give us from his hand. He is the one who provides seed to the sower. He is the one who provides bread for food. He will also then supply all things for you, even the seed that you would give back to his church for the ministry, for the word, for the sacrament. And in doing this, our Lord then is able to bring forward even more into the lives of his people and even to those who are right now lost and still may come, the compassion of the gospel of Jesus Christ. By your generosity, by your thankfulness, the gospel goes forth into the world and brings other people to the foot of the cross found in baptism just as you were brought. Thanks be to God for that inexpressible gift. Truly, that is what Paul is saying. He's not saying again, give and you will get more. Give less and you will get less. What he's saying is, we give thanks to God in all things, and our lives then become a mirror of that thankfulness. If we pour out our thanks to God, we pour out to others the need that they have. We give to others of our abundance. What else is it going to be good for? You've heard the statement, you can't take it with you. And it's true. We can prepare like this rich fool and not know that our lives are going to be demanded of us the next day. We can instead be thankful like the Israelites, who were thankful that God had brought them into a good land. And so they gave to God first the fruits of their labor, and then they gave to their neighbor in need. And then finally, they held what they needed for themselves. What's it going to be, my friends? Are we thankful people? I think we are. I think we are. God has made us thankful because of the gifts that he's given to us in his Son. That is the reason why we are here, is it not? To give thanks in every circumstance? That's the reason why you've continued to come to the church, even through this pandemic. To give thanks to God in every circumstance and to receive from his hand the blessings that he would give to you. Not just the blessings of this world, but the blessings of his church, the word which absolves you, your baptism which saves you, the supper which strengthens you. In these things we give to God thanks. Let our lives then, because we are saved by Jesus Christ, be lives of thanksgiving and praise towards Him. And I promise, as they are, as you practice it, you will be content in every circumstance as well. For ultimately you will die, but you will open your eyes and see your Jesus and know that His promises to you to take care of you, to preserve you, and to bring you into everlasting life were true. May that day come soon for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.